Almighty God, King of the universe, thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the abilities that you've given us here and the ministries that you've given us. Thank you for the full house and for all the people that are here. Thank you, Father, for the sick and the shut-ins that we've named. Please bless them and bless all those that we fail to name. We pray that you help them and heal them and raise them up, that you give them all long life and long service to you. Father, we're sinners and we confess that to you, and we ask you to please have mercy on us and forgive us. Please help us that we might go forward to feed the poor today. We pray that you bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes. Bless every person that's given money that allows us to feed, buy this food, to feed the poor. Thank you, Father, for our radio ministry and our internet ministry that goes out to the whole earth. We pray that you touch hearts and that many people hear the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we pray that you bless our ministers here. Please be with Eric and be with Manuel and be with Eddie as he ministers in the jail. And thank you for the fruitful ministries that you've given us. We pray that you'll continue to forgive us, continue to bless us, continue to help us that we might serve thee better each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Eddie, pray.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, Eddie.
And I was going to say, can I get an amen? But I know. Well, can I get an amen again?
Amen.
I didn't hear the again part.
Amen.
Y'all know, I'm Eddie Frazier. I'm your chaplain, jail chaplain here in Dallas, Texas for y'all. You know, God has really been great with this ministry. We're steady growing. We've added two more preachers that's going down to the gurney unit to get into the rotation. Young man that used to go with me years ago, Dave Williams, he came back into the jail ministry and came last Sunday. I believe he's going to be with us today. God has also added Brother Manuel, Brandon, stand up, Manuel. This will be his first day heading to the jail ministry today. He's coming aboard. And he's new. And I see somebody here y'all probably don't know who got me started in the jail ministry. Back in 1998, my sister Carol Johnson, stand up. Stand up, Carol, so they can see you there. I never met y'all. Carol Johnson introduced me to the jail ministry back in 1998, and she herself has served in the jail ministry over 38 years. Is that correct? Or more. So we ask y'all to continue to pray for the jail ministry. I believe we have some 598 baptisms so far this year. Let's see what God has for us in the future. If y'all can continue to pray, that we continue to do God's will. Thank you much.
Good morning. I thank you for being here. Today we're going to be talking about, last week if you remember, we were talking about the promises of God. And this time we're going to be talking about the promise of Christ's second coming. There's a lot of information in here, so if you have your recorders, you can press the start button. Or if you'd like to get a CD afterwards, we gladly give you one for free. Got a question for you. Isn't it funny how we take for granted the scriptures? You know, when someone claims to quote scripture, and I know I've done this myself, they claim to quote scripture, and when you search out what they've quoted to you as scripture, you don't find it. Nowhere in the Bible, or it's misquoted. Has that ever happened to you? Well, it does happen to me even still. I'll give you a couple examples. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Is that in the Bible or not? No, but we know. We know that God has had mysteries in the Old Testament, you know, revealed in the New Testament. How about money is the root of all evil? The love of money. Yeah, not money, but yes, it is, but it is the love of money. So if I was good and I had $100, well, I would do good with that $100. If I had $1,000, I'd be able to do more good. I was good. Yeah, 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And then there's another one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Is that in the Bible or not? Okay. Although in spirit, you know, if we're spiritually clean, then we are next to God, i.e. have our sins forgiven. Okay. How about, has anybody ever heard of seventh heaven? You think that's in the Bible? No, it's not. It's not. The highest heaven I've heard number-wise in the Bible is third heaven. How about this one? Have your sins cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Now, I myself, I thought that was in the scripture, in the Bible. The concept is, but that quote, it's not. You know how long we live and we hear people say things all the time, and then we say it before we even read it for ourselves. It's funny. Now, I'll give you the concept of it. In Micah, I used to think that it was King David that said it, the psalmist. But in Micah, here's what we have that's close to that. Micah 7:19, it says, he will turn again, he will have compassion on us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. So we see the relationship between that, right? Now, I never want to misquote a scripture. Never. I would rather just read it. But sometimes I do, or if I paraphrase it. But what I'll do is maybe next week, if that does happen, I'll ask for forgiveness. Seventh heaven, there is a third heaven mentioned. Also, as far as the sins cast into the sea of forgetfulness, in Psalms 103, verse 12, this is as close as I found. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Or what about Jeremiah 31:34? That says something similar. And if you've listened to the lesson last week, you've heard this before. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I don't think I covered this with you last week, though I mentioned it, concerning the promise of the new covenant. But in the old covenant, they were born Jews, and they had to learn of God. But in the new covenant, which is much better than the old, the spiritual Jews, or spiritual Israel, had to know Christ and believe and obey the gospel before they became spiritual Jews, thus making this verse true. Again, I'll read this. Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. Lord Jesus, here's his one. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. Is that in the scripture? Is that in the Bible? No, it's not. I mean, it sounds good. You know, it sounds like a good prayer. Don't you want Jesus in your heart? Don't you want him to be your personal Lord and Savior? I sure do. But this is not in the Bible. Now, repent and be baptized is, and we know where that's at. I think it's Acts chapter 2 somewhere. Okay? How about the word rapture? Do we know what rapture means? This is like a feeling of ecstasy. That's the definition that they give. And we know that the just shall live by faith, right? Not by a feeling of ecstasy, but by faith. And, you know, there are some people that do drugs, and they get somewhat of a feeling of ecstasy, but that doesn't mean they're saved. So, rapture, nope, not in there. This is my personal recommendation, guys, even to myself, more so to myself because I am a pulpit minister. Minister, period. When someone quotes something as if it was scripture, find out where it actually is before you quote it yourself. Or better yet, read it. So I'm going to try to read more scripture, you know, and give myself some self-discipline, if you would. It could have saved me a lot of embarrassment if I had done it this way. I wouldn't have to eat so much crow. Those at Thessalonica, I'm always mispronouncing this thing. Thessalonica, which searched the scriptures themselves, whether they were so. Acts 17:11. These were more noble. If you want to be more noble, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And you have another scripture that says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This lesson is about the second coming, the promise of the second coming of Christ. The coming of Christ is one event. There is no secret rapture. The word rapture is not even in the Bible, and not with the definition that they have. Now, there is a Latin word, raptura, and that's where they get the word rape from, to be taken by force. And the Greek word is harpazo. That means to be caught up, which is the word for caught up in the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Harpazo, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Harpazo, the word from a derivative to seize in various applications, to pluck, to pull, to take by force. Whether you like it or not, you will be caught up. If you were eating a steak dinner, you couldn't say, wait a minute, God, can I finish my steak first? Or if you was giving your husband or wife a big old smooch and Jesus came, you would say, oh, Lord, could you wait until I finish giving my husband or wife a big old smooch unless they went up with you? Unless they were caught up with you? Examples of other scriptures. This is examples of other scriptures where the word harpazo is used. Okay. Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Harpazo. Now, does that sound like a feeling of ecstasy? No. Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away, harpazo, that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. John 6:15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, harpazo, no feeling of ecstasy there, to make him king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone. Now, don't get me wrong, harpazo is a good thing to those who are in Christ. But you must be in Christ. Amen. Okay? There is a promise of Christ's second coming, and that is called the parousia. Okay? From the present participle, being near an advent, often return, especially of Christ, even to punish Jerusalem. Or finally, Jesus is going to come to punish the wicked. Amen? At the end of time, Christ will come again. We will be caught up to go with Christ. This earth will be burned up. We know that, don't we? Burned up. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, the promise of what? This is the promise of his second coming. Look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that you can refer to 2 Peter 3:13. Now, in 2 Peter, I'm going to be reading from verse 9 to verse 18, concerning, again, the promise of the second coming of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, the promise of his second coming, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this harpazo is part of the second coming. He is coming to get, receive his bride and punish the wicked. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Some people call this the baptism of fire that John the Baptist was talking about. I think it very well could be. Baptism of the Holy Spirit and baptism with fire. Has the baptism of fire occurred yet? Will you abide in that fire? Verse 11. Seeing then that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye, ought I also, to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I know that when I first became a Christian, I had to watch my conversation. I know I did. And you do too. When you're growing in Christ, it should show in your language. Yes, it should. 12. Looking for and hasten unto the coming of the day of God. That's the same as the day of the Lord. That's the same as the parousia of Christ. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. He says this as a question. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him, of who? Christ, right? In peace, without spot, blameless. And how do we remain as such? We continue in Christ. We repent of our sins if we do sin. Verse 15, this is 2 Peter 3:15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He is long suffering unto us because he wants us to be saved. He wants us to give us space to repent because he loves us. Because he loves us. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, if you're carnal, these spiritual things will be hard to understand. It will be. The spiritual mind on the right hand and the carnal mind on the left hand will not interpret the Bible both the same way. Though there are some things in there that are as plain as day. I want to say as plain as his nose on my face. But listen to this. I'm going to, verse 16 again. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Well, hard to be understood by who? Well, mostly the carnal. The spiritual, if you've been in Christ for a while, and if you've been practicing and performing what the doctrine is of Christ that we ought to, and showing forth the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, meekness, faith, gentleness. I try to memorize that. And I try to practice that all my life. And the more I grow in Christ, and I got a long way to go, I'm going to try to practice that even more. And you should be able to tell, even those grown in Christ should be able to tell that I am growing in Christ. Amen? Okay. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. You see this word rest? That means to twist. So these guys that are unlearned, who are they? Unlearned and unstable. Why are they unlearned? Because they don't want to learn. Pick you up a Bible, Christians, and read it. And I should do it more myself. But, and unstable, what does that mean? I mean, as we as Christians, as we grow in Christ, we should have certain stability in our lives. We shouldn't be going nuts when we get angry. We shouldn't be losing our temper. And yeah, sometimes I lose my temper, but not for so long. I'm going to tell you, a person that has like 20 minutes of lost temper, I question his walk with Christ. And if you see me going off in anger for 30 minutes, you should question my walk with Christ. So these that are unstable, they wrestle with the scriptures. They don't understand the scriptures. They don't search out the scriptures. Why do they care? Are they about winning souls to Christ? Are they about keeping souls in Christ? Are they about in perfecting the saints with love and encouragement, comfort, godliness? They're unstable and rest, as they do also to other scriptures, unto their own destruction. These are scripture twisters. They fail to understand the scriptures, and they don't search the scriptures out, and then they come up with, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. That's what I think that means. Where did that come from? Wait a minute. Romans chapter 10? For whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Is that where they got that from? But the word call upon, if they should have looked that word up, they would have known that it was epikaluomai, which means surname, to put on the name of Christ. And how do you put on the name of Christ? You do it by getting in Christ, by becoming a Christian, by obeying the gospel. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You see? I figured that out, and I'm not that smart. But I'm getting better. And the word of God, you know what? If I wasn't very intelligent, I knew all the word of God, and I abided in it. I'm smarter than the quickest learning person who doesn't, I think, or wiser. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. So he's talking about, he's warning of those scripture twisters that comes up with their own doohickey, and that stuff don't save you. The word of God saves you. And if you know the word of God saves you, don't you really want to understand it? Amen. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. You know, those that twist the scriptures, they're wicked. That's that. That's what the scripture says. You fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace. What is grace? God has given us grace. Doesn't grace save us if we receive it? and in the knowledge, you know, again, of the Apostle Paul, he says a lot of times, I would not have you ignorant. The New Testament is telling you that you got to have knowledge, that you can't be ignorant. Or just like Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For in that they rejected knowledge. Willingly, they rejected knowledge. What a shame. Verse 18 again, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ignorant, guys. Learn of God. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The second coming of Christ is in power and glory and is one event. Jesus ain't going to come and grab a couple of people up and then come back down and grab a couple of people up next week and next month. No, it's going to happen at one time. Okay? And you have the dead in Christ and those that are alive in Christ. Mark 13:26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The following, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, we know that Matthew 25, we know that it's concerning those on the left and those on the right, the good people that have done the will of God, the bad people that have not. I got to remind you that this, what they do, this is not what we do to be saved. Those that feed the homeless, feed the hungry, visit the sick, visit those in prison. Those are not the things that we need to do to be saved. Those are the things that saved people do. So, Brother Eddie Frazier, he's a saved person. And he has a prison ministry. And he baptizes thousands. And I could see the Christ in him. And I thank God for him. Hallelujah. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. This is not what they do to be saved. This is what the saved do. They treat others as Jesus' brethren. Those are the people on the right hand of Christ. While those who will be lost treat them as the least of these. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. We like to encourage our radio audience to visit the nearest Church of Christ or call us at 214-821-2123 for download of great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. You can visit us also at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Matthew 25, verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, the king, Jesus is the king. Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Kind of sounds like the Main Street Church of Christ, don't it? Hallelujah. You know, we're trying. Amen. Naked and ye clothed me, verse 36. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. We have a prison chaplaincy. And I go once in a while, twice in a while to visit the sick myself. It's encouraging. Amen. And look at the humility in verse 37. of the people that are righteous. Look at this humility they have. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came in unto thee? Verse 40. Now, listen to this verse. It says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least these my brethren. Look at that. Circle that word, brethren. These my brethren, ye have done it unto me. They have treated, we should treat those as if they were brethren. Not our own brethren, but Jesus' brethren. I mean, if you knew somebody was Jesus' brother, wouldn't you help him out? I mean, I think I would. Even if they weren't. But notice he uses the word brethren in verse 40. Now look at this. In verse 41, then he says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? Again, this is not what we do to be saved. This is what the saved do. What we do to be saved is obey the gospel. And did not minister unto thee. Now look at verse 45. Pay attention to this. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these. Jesus doesn't even use the word brethren. You know why? Because they didn't treat them as brethren. So, were they brethren to them? Were they neighbor to them if they didn't treat them as such? No. Ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. John chapter 5, verses 21 through 29. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, brings them to life, even so the Son quickeneth who he will. So Jesus is going to be raising up people, won't he? For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto who? Jesus the Son. The Son, and that is Jesus. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. So if God were to send his Son, and you don't honor his Son, do you think he'd be upset? Not only would the Son be upset, but the Father would be upset too. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, you got to put on Christ, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 25, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Like Lazarus, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he was dead for 4 days. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now we know he's the Son of God, born of the flesh, became flesh. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. They'll come alive. They'll wake up and shall come forth that they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, what do you need in order to be resurrected into life? The Holy Spirit. You must have the Holy Spirit to be redeemed. Now, you may think you have the Holy Spirit, but you could be wrong. How will we know if a person has the Holy Spirit? How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Well, one thing I'll tell you for sure, in order to get the Holy Spirit in this day and age, you must obey the gospel. And in order to obey the gospel, two things. You got to know what the gospel is and how to obey it. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'll say that again. And to obey it, you must repent of your sins, death to sin, be baptized, burial, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, resurrection into life. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Being descendants of Adam, we are subject to the same corruption, this body, and disgrace of death. Excuse me. In the resurrection, we will bear the image of the righteousness of Christ. Is that saying we will be like Christ? We will have a glorified body. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Our nature, the natural man, is not suited to eternal inheritance of the church or the kingdom of God and its eternal glory. Therefore, it is necessary that we die or be changed to a celestial body for a celestial state. 1 Corinthians 55, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Mystery is something never known before. And once it's revealed, it's no longer a mystery. Those alive will undergo a change and become spiritual bodies like those raised from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last, it'll happen before I can say twinkling. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You ever heard lightning strike the ground? Bam! Onomeo, poetic language, is that what they call it? And as soon as you hear it, you'll know that lightning struck the ground. Or you know how lightning strikes and you hear a big boom? But what when you hear it hit a house, or when you hear it hit a tree, it's a big boom. But you know, and that's how it's going to be. You know when it happens that it is what it is. In an indivisible point of time, we will be changed. The resurrection of all the dead from the foundation of the world and the change of all living on the earth shall be the work of God in a single moment. The last trump is Jewish phraseology. We will be incorruptible, fully clothed with a new body to die no more. Hallelujah. Chapter 15, verse 53, 1 Corinthians. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And this is quoted from Isaiah 25, verse 8. Death here is personified and represented as a devouring evil being swallowed up. This devouring evil is death, and it's going to be swallowed up. By the resurrection of our bodies and the destruction of the empire of death, God is represented as swallowing death up literally, that eternally gulps death down. So death is endlessly lost. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? These words are the Septuagint translation of Hosea 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Death could not have entered the world if sin had not entered first. For it says the wages of sin is death. The dagger of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. The law of God forbids all transgression and sentences transgressors to an eternal death. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What the law could not do, because it is law, and it cannot provide pardon, God does by the gospel. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, if you labor in the Lord. Steadfast is to take a seat or to be settled in this teaching of resurrection. Unmovable. Do not move away. Let nothing shake your faith. Abound in the work of the Lord. And what is the work of the Lord? John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe on Christ, put on Christ. Your labor is not in vain. You must not only work by believing, but you must labor in the Lord by putting forth all your strength under his direction and influence. Try. The more you grow in Christ, the more you should try. Or try till you get better and keep on trying all your life. Amen. Paul teaches the church at Thessalonica. No. Thessalonica. That's better. Thank you. About the second coming of Christ in 1 Thessalonians. I'd rather say Thessalonians. 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That word for asleep is komeo. Koimeo. That ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. What is our hope? Hope of eternal salvation, isn't it? We call that the helmet of salvation. We would not have you ignorant. This was one of Paul's favorite ways of introducing a new and important subject. If Paul wanted someone not to forget something, he said, don't be ignorant of this. And that means to suck it in. Hold it for a while. And then perform it. This was one of Paul's favorite ways of introducing a new and important subject. Paul had not been gone from Thessalonica, but for a short time before this was written, but already death had occurred to them, to some of them. And they say, in that, those which are asleep, this is a metaphor which was frequently used by the Lord. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123, or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. This is a metaphor, those that are asleep, was a metaphor frequently used by our Lord, as in the instance of Lazarus. Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep. And they were crying because he was dead. And then Jesus raised them up. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, i.e. the gospel, and what is the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. If we believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, believe in the gospel, that's what it is, and come into Jesus for salvation in the appointed way. How many ways is there to salvation? Only one way. There is only one gospel. So how many ways is there to obey one gospel? One way. One gospel, one way. Any 8-year-old could figure that out, I think. I got to go back to being 8. Them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The glorious promises of the passage are for them that are asleep in Jesus. Thus again, the supreme importance of being in Christ. When you are in Christ, when you die, then when you're raised up, you're going to heaven. The supreme importance of being in Christ appears as a mandatory prerequisite of receiving any Christian blessing. The Apostle John wrote, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Revelation 14:13. And the same teaching is in Paul's words here. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how you obey that gospel, there must be a death, a burial, and a resurrection in your life. So, now that you know the gospel, now you can obey it. Now that you know the gospel, you can come up and we can baptize you into the gospel. You can get in Christ. If you don't get in Christ, you cannot be saved. Not if you're alive, not when you die. So what you say? Is anybody here not in Christ and ready to come? Ready to become a Christian? Won't you come? Won't you come right now? And those of you who are in need of prayer, you can write the response cards and bring them forward, and we will pray for you. Won't you come and do this right now while we stand and sing? Brother Eric?
When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His Trust and
little Shelby here wants to be baptized. And
Shelby, you believe that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures? Buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures?
Yes, sir.
Now you want to repent of your sins and become a Christian?
Yes, sir.
You believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Okay, we'll get you up here. We'll baptize you.
Based on Shelby's confession of faith, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins.